Good morning, Scott Luton here with you on Supply Chain Now. Hey, this episode that you're about to hear is one of our Supply Chain Now classics, recorded back in 2019 or 2020. We hope you enjoy this wonderful perspective shared. And hey, we wish you and your families all the best through the holiday season. Thanks so much for being part of our mission to amplify and serve the voice of supply chain.
It's time for Supply Chain Now. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia. Heard around the world, Supply Chain Now spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. And now, here are your hosts.
Hey, good afternoon. Scott Luton here with you on Supply Chain Now. Welcome back to the show. On today's episode, we're speaking with bright members of the next generation of supply chain leadership. Big thanks to Fred Tolbert and the team over at Southeast Demand Solutions. We're speaking with three supply chain students from the University of Georgia, go Dawgs, and gaining their critical insights on industry and a whole lot more. So stay tuned as we look to increase your supply chain IQ. Quick programming note before we get started here. If you enjoyed today's conversation, be sure to find us and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from. Okay, I want to welcome in my fearless, esteemed co-hosts here today on today's show. Greg White, serial supply chain tech entrepreneur and trusted advisor. Greg, good afternoon.
Hey, Scott, how are you doing?
I'm on cloud nine. We've been looking forward to this episode here today, and I'm ready to dive in. But we've got a new co-host for today's episode.
Yes, who would that be? Let me think.
None other than Mr. Fred Tolbert. Yeah. Principal with Southeast Demand Solutions and really a supply chain hall of famer, at least in my book. Fred, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Scott, Greg.
Great to have you here. And, you know, Fred, you and I have had the good fortune of collaborating with you for years now, webinars and keynotes and some other things. This is a really neat extension of that collaboration, and I appreciate all you do to make stuff like this happen.
Hey, I'm glad to be here, and me sharing with you guys, the UGA students that I've gotten to know here during the spring semester, I think we're really in for a treat.
I agree with you. And so what we're going to do, we're going to welcome in our featured guests here, and then we're going to bring you back on, Fred, because we want some interesting kind of a background level setting on the front end of this conversation. So. Mm-hmm. First up, I want to welcome in our three featured guests here today, Maggie Hume. Good afternoon, Maggie.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Welcome to Supply Chain Now. And then we've got Nam Pham. Nam, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Great to have you. And then finally, Tanner Foster, who also joined us for a live stream or two in recent weeks. Tanner, how you doing?
Doing good, Scott. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. Great to have you. All right.
So he's that Tanner Foster.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. That is right. Greg doesn't miss a thing. If y'all are learning this from me, he does not miss a thing. So you're right. All right. So, Fred, I want to bring you back on. And if you would, give us a little bit of background on these students and your work with them. And of course, tell us more about Team Supply Chain.
Well, this got started almost a year ago, Scott. I heard a podcast back maybe this time last year with you and Chris Barnes and Marty Parker. And Marty was had with him some of the UGA students, and they were describing their intern opportunities that they had. And it was an education to me even then about UGA supply chain program. And from there, I got onto the Supply Chain Advisory Board. And as we had a couple of the meetings there with the advisory board, then there was the discussion about it. And I knew that UGA always had a mentor program, a pretty formal program. But I approached Marty about potentially having a mentorship with maybe a supply chain student. And so at a speed networking session, Nam, I think that's where Nam and I got connected, and then I spoke to one of the Dr. Montgomery supply chain class, and out of that came a connection with with Maggie and with Tanner. So we formed a group. We named ourselves Team Supply Chain. And so during the spring semester, we've met every couple of weeks to discuss a variety of supply chain topics.
Love it. Lots of passion, from what I understand, and a lot of the things that you described in those conversations. So I appreciate that backdrop. And this is really our first official interview with members of Team Supply Chain. I feel like there should be a yeah. Hall of the Justice League or the Hall of Justice around the corner where we're having all these conversations. Let's dive right into these conversations, Fred. How's that sound?
Hey, that sounds great. These are UGA supply chain superstars here we're about to talk to.
Love that. All right. So, Maggie and Nam and Tanner, welcome again to the show. We're going to dive right in. First off, like we like doing with any of our guests here on our program, we like to kind of humanize who you are and have our audience give them the opportunity to get to know you a little better before we start talking shop. So for starters, I want to ask Maggie, tell us about where you're from and tell us about something about you that a lot of folks aren't aware of.
Sure thing. So a little bit of a complicated life story here, but I was born in Atlanta, Georgia, and spent the first 9 years growing up in England. So that's kind of where I have my childhood. And okay. Then in 2008, my family moved back to Georgia.
What part of England?
We were just west of London in a small town called Maidenhead. Hmm.
And your folks' careers took the family there?
Yeah, so my dad actually grew up in England. That's where his whole family is.
Okay.
And my mom's whole family was here.
So you had an early appreciation for the global business world, which is a great leg up, by the way. I'm jealous of you there. And what's one thing that most folks don't know about Maggie Hume?
Let's see. So one thing people don't know about me, last year I spent 3 months in northern Italy. And I was teaching English to more than 500 Italian students.
Wow.
It was an interesting experience, to say the least.
I bet. So, we'll circle back on where you'd like to be in a couple of years. I'm looking forward to kind of hearing about how those global experiences have shaped where you want to go with your career. So, want to move right along to Nam. Nam, same question. Tell us about where you're from and tell us about something that most folks don't know about you.
All right, so it's a little complicated as well. I grew up in Germany. I'm Vietnamese, but I'm originally from Germany. My parents, kind of post-Vietnam War, they were deciding that it was kind of hard to live there in Vietnam. So come 89, they decided to move to East Side Germany. Ironically, that kind of right when the wall fell. So it was from one communist country back to another area with where it's kind of socially communist as well. Then I was born. I lived there for a little bit. I pretty much lived there for my entire childhood. Moved to the U.S. in 2004. Ended up in Georgia, and that's kind of where I'm at now.
All right. Well, you know, life's never simple. I love already for starters to have the level of international experience and perspective. I can only imagine how that factored in a very meaningful and positive way into the supply chain classroom discussions. And what's one thing, Nam, you might have already shared a couple, but what's one thing about you that your maybe even your friends don't know?
I mean, that's kind of the fact, too. Just that I am from Germany originally. I'm Vietnamese. So the interesting fact, though, is I am a first-generation student, so kind of doing this all for the first time ever, and not really having anybody to kind of show me the way here.
Mm. Wow.
Trailblazer.
Hey, Nam, I have a quick question. What did your parents do in, it was East Germany, you said, correct?
Yes. So my dad was working as a mechanic for a little bit, and then he ended up just opening up a restaurant.
Outstanding.
And then my mom was helping him with that.
Very cool.
Wow.
And were you there through the time? Sorry,
I was a
specialist in college, Scott. You know, were you there through the time in when the wall fell? Or
oh no! So they moved right after the wall fell. So that was in '89, but okay. I wasn't born until '96 anyway. So
got it.
Wow, just blew my brain with that. I keep forgetting just how much further away from the college ages I get, Greg and Fred. all right. So I appreciate you sharing, Nam. I bet I'd love to interview your folks. I bet they've got some incredible stories during those times in Germany, you know, in what followed, you know, the months that followed 89 and the fall of the wall. Moving right along, Tanner, let's talk about your background. Tell us about yourself, you know, where you're from, and give us that one thing folks don't know about you.
So I'm a little bit less traveled than my colleagues here. I'm a Georgia boy, born and raised. I lived in Calhoun, Georgia my whole life up until the point where I moved down here to Athens to go to school. And my parents have been there pretty much their whole lives. My dad's been a small business owner there since 96. And then my mom works in the county school systems there. Probably one thing that a lot of people don't know about me is for two or three years at the end of high school, I was a goat showman, and I had a couple goats that I would have to travel around the state with and go to competitions and things like that.
Wow. I love that. You know what? You're the first goat showman we've ever interviewed in over 330 episodes. So you're a trailblazer too, Tanner. Hey, what was of your most the goat that won the most prizes, what was his or her name?
I had one, his name was Bobby. He's really the only one that I ever showed, but they're got to have more than one. They're where they pack animals. Yeah, so you have to have more than one. But I really just had the one that I showed, and I took him to some smaller show. It was through the FFA, the Calhoun mm-hmm. City FFA chapter, which came in when I was a junior. So I got pretty involved with that. And then, but the biggest show I went to was the state fair down in Perry. I don't know if any of y'all are familiar with that, but it's a pretty big get together down there.
And the FFA being the Future Farmers of America, which if I've heard right, it's kind of seen a resurgence in recent years. Is that what you've seen as well, Tanner?
Yeah, I would think so. I know, like I said, the city schools where I went to school and the county had a program, but the city got one when I was in there. So I got to be on the charter for that in 2015. And then I became president of it in 2016, my senior year. And I know we really did a lot to expand our program over the 2 years, and I know the programs surrounding us were having the same kind of growth.
Well, you know, we can all, I'm sure we've all of us here on this episode have heard plenty about the food supply chain, including the meat supply chain here in recent weeks, and it's such a critical part of the mission that supply chain leaders, you know, are on to keep shelves full and refrigerated shelving full as well. So hopefully we'll get some good news in the weeks to come and see things kind of get a little more stable. I know Fred's got some passionate comments around that because it has been very resilient for quite some time, but we got to protect that workforce that keeps our manufacturing and food production facilities moving. All right, so Maggie, Nam, and Tanner, great start.
Yeah.
I love the level of diversity here. And Greg, we're going to kind of dive into more of an academic.
Yeah, I love that I'm taking this section because, one, I didn't major in supply chain. In fact, the term supply chain did not exist when I graduated, which was, thanks for reminding me, Nam, 7 years before you were born. So. And also the only class that I ever took that even remotely approached supply chain was economics of transportation. And all I needed to do was get a D in that class to graduate, which I did.
Been there, done that, Greg.
That's for irony. A political science specialist in supply chain. So interesting, and we're constantly fascinated by the fact that not only are there supply chain practices, but they continue to proliferate and they are so advanced and so specialized. And there are so many of them. So I'm interested, Maggie, let's start with you. What drew you to the supply chain program at UGA?
Sure. So I'm studying kind of a hybrid of things here, but My major is international business and supply chain management. And I'm also pursuing a certificate in sustainability. So I've kind of just found that I wanted to find a cross-section of sustainability and business. And I found that supply chain really kind of hit that on the head, kind of focusing on a process efficiency, reducing waste, and trying to do things in the best way we possibly can. So that's sort of how I fell into the supply chain field, sort of happenstance, honestly.
It's really interesting that you brought that up. A lot of our discussions, Maggie, especially these days, are around circular economy and supply chain and how supply chain plays into sustainability, starting with the design of products, all the way through the reuse, recycling process, but also around other issues, ethical supply chain, things like that. I mean, there is so much that this business touches. Virtually literally every product that is produced touches the supply chain in some way, and it's all the way from the kid who grows a goat, who hopefully Tanner produced great goat cheese, all the way through the register operator that helps you at your local Kroger or Publix store, or to the delivery person who brings it to your front porch. And that is 44 million people in the States. So you've joined an elite group, and I think that it's a great field to be in, and it is one that can have a major impact on goodness and light in the world. So thanks for joining. Nam, tell us a little bit about you. How did you wind up at UGA? Sounds like you took a maybe slightly more circuitous route.
Well, it's kind of similar. I also kind of fell into this kind of thing. So when I got accepted to UGA, I was still exploring kind of my options. And I noticed that supply chain management was probably the most natural thing that came to me. It's very much in line with kind of how I live my life. I like to live efficiently. Don't really like wasting time or efforts, really. And the major just kind of, taught that same thing. And kind of my mindset of thinking is very useful in this type of field.
Very cool. So were you living in Georgia at the time that you applied, or?
Yes. So I lived in Georgia since 2004. I kind of just stayed in the state since then. And I've just gone through school here, lived in Warner Robins for a little bit, moved to Statesboro, and then now I'm in Athens.
Oh, very cool. Much cooler summers in Athens than Statesboro.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Nam. So Tanner, tell us your story. How'd you wind up at UGA? It's almost a commute from where you live. So
yeah, it is. I applied to a couple of schools here in Georgia, but I just knew that UGA was one with an established reputation, and that I had an older brother who's 14 months older than me, and he was here already. But I actually came in, I went to the ag program. I was doing ag applied economics. And that was just kind of building off the background that I started there in high school and just being around agriculture growing up. But I just wasn't really getting any kind of fulfillment in the ag school. And not to put the ag school down, but it just wasn't, I just wasn't happy with what I was doing. So I switched to Terry because my brother was already getting his finance degree. And I think I remember it. I got like a pamphlet, or maybe it was like some sheet of paper with an info session talking about supply chain. And I had already selected the management major because it was something that was broad. And I went and checked out the supply chain, and it's just kind of fallen into place naturally from there. It's something that really holds my attention. And building off what Nam said about being efficient, and I think I kind of share the same mindset with him in that manner. So it's something that really just I'm naturally drawn to.
You've got to do what you're passionate about, right? And good to find that passion while you're in school.
Exactly.
You'll have the option to choose your academic track. All right, I'm going to reverse direction a little bit then, since we just wrapped up with you, Tanner. Tell me what it is about supply chain that makes it interesting to you.
I think it's, for me, it's something that's concrete, and supply chain and studying supply chain, it's less about theories and things that can't be proven, and more about practices that have been put in place and refined to be the best they can be. So to me, it's just something that's more tangible and really, really yields results that are easy to see than a lot of other areas of study.
Yeah, that's well said. All right. So Nam, tell us a little bit. I think you identified efficiency as one of the things. Tell us what else about supply chain trips your trigger.
So I find supply chain really, really interesting because I just kind of see it as like a backbone that nobody really sees. Just kind of how our society runs and everything. It's very heavily based on the supply chain, but nobody really understands kind of, or just like, if you don't study the field, you don't really understand what goes into it, kind of what it takes to really keep it running and stuff like that. So I think it's really cool knowing some things like that, that, you know, you could teach other people.
You know, it's interesting, isn't it? Especially in these times, it seems like just last year you started to hear government officials and even consumers mention supply chain. And I think everybody is getting a crash course in supply chain right now.
Absolutely. So it's definitely in the forefront, just kind of with everything going on right now.
Yeah. Yeah. When you hear it spoken about every day in a press briefing, you know that it's in the forefront. All right, Greg, tell us a little bit about where you're at.
Sure. So sort of a same kind of appreciation that Nam mentioned there, of kind of this behind the scenes action that's so vital for performance in all industries. I think that's really interesting. But also the fact that we can kind of study the end-to-end process, that's really fascinating to me, to be able to see something all the way through to fruition. That's been something that's really interesting for me.
Well, and you, your area of study is an area that I'm fairly familiar with, and maybe Fred is too. I'm not sure, but yeah. I think he might be. So you're studying inventory planning, right? And so as Nam said, not everybody knows exactly how supply chain works. It's a little bit of black magic, I think, to a lot of people. Can you give our audience your description of what that is, inventory planning, and you know, what you particularly like or want to do with that?
Sure. So this isn't really nailed down for me yet. My first co-op experience was with production planning, and that kind of sort of just fell into place there. I applied for a general supply chain internship and was placed in the production planning group. And then my next internship is going to be focused on inventory planning. So it's sort of two different pieces of the same puzzle there, of the upfront planning that goes into making sure that product is on shelf and it's arriving to the destination on time and in full. That's, I think, the best way I can describe inventory planning, although I haven't had that hands-on experience yet. And that's kind of what's coming down the pipeline for me.
Hey, yeah, that's fantastic. You just made me think of something that is interesting. There are different views of what is coming down the pipe, what demand is, right, based on where you land in the supply chain. So Fred and I have had this discussion, passionate discussion, before. It's important. I hope you guys have discussed this, but I think a lot of supply chain professionals don't get to hear this until they get into the field. It's important to recognize, we will talk a lot about, when we talk about planning and forecasting and that sort of thing, we'll talk a lot about this item, this item's attribute, this item's seasonality, this item's demand, its forecast, its trend, whatever it is. The truth is, and this is important as you go through supply chain, you're not forecasting items at all, because as we've all been having this discussion, look at what the items on the table in front of you have been doing, right? What we're forecasting is the consumer, the customer, the person who will act on and buy or even pilfer that item. That's demand. So hopefully that's a valuable tidbit for you. It's something I often share with folks, and it's a, you know, it's a foundation of forecasting that I don't think we talk about enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fred, did you want to jump in?
Well, hey, they're really on a roll. I will say that Maggie, when I spoke to Professor Montgomery's class, I was droning on. It was an 8 o'clock a.m. class. I told the group that I always avoided a first period class, but there was a class full of folks, and there was Maggie right in the middle of the room, and I was droning on around my forecasting concepts, and she raises her hand and asked a question, and I was just floored. And my response was, how in the world did you even know to ask that question? I mean, it was a very good question about constraining the sales forecast. And I said, hey, most people would be sound asleep at 8 a.m. And she's asking me questions about, constrained supply chain planning. So
you mentioned that to us. I didn't realize that was Maggie. Okay.
That was Maggie.
So now we know what the world's up against. That's good.
Right. Exactly.
All right. So warehouse operations, I hear, Nam, that's where you're putting your focus. So
yes.
Your penchant for efficiency will play well there. Tell us a little bit about that.
So kind of explored this area just because of based on the experience I've had as well. I had an internship at a warehouse. And just going in there, first time seeing a warehouse operation, you're just kind of like, wow, this is a lot of things are going on right now. And you just see a bunch of potentials of better ways to do things. And, you know, regardless of how efficient a supply chain in the world is right now, it's always going to have room to improve, especially with this new tech coming out. So I think it's a great opportunity, has a lot of potential to kind of just do better work and just be more meaningful in terms of kind of how you contribute to it. That's why I like warehouse operations.
Yeah, efficiency, you will fit very well in that segment of the supply chain because there is, as you saw, a lot of opportunity. You're probably too diplomatic to say it, but I'm not. I bet you walked in that warehouse and thought, how do they ever get anything out the door?
You said it.
But that's fantastic. Look, there's a lot of technology, there's a lot of manual intervention, and there's a lot of process that's required and a lot of analysis to determine how to make a warehouse work efficiently. So I think you'll really enjoy that segment of the supply chain, and it's good to have somebody who's got a bit of an engineering mind get in there and help to improve that. So
for sure.
And Tanner, the guy with the shortest commute to college, You're pointing towards transportation management, right? But I know up in Calhoun, you might have seen one or two semi trucks drive around the area, right?
Absolutely, yeah. There's a ton of them. That's actually kind of how I got into the area. I took an internship with Mohawk Industries up in Calhoun, okay. And so really, my experience is more with the private fleet transportation side. I know there's like a common carrier and things like that too, but my experience is more private. I just like the idea. It's almost like problem solving. It's something simple. It's going from A to B or A to B to C, but dealing with those problems, it's almost like finding the best fit.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you've got to find the best fit for the transportation provider and for the shipper and for the driver, frankly. And you know, I don't think that it's been in the news lately, but there's been a lot said about the issues that drivers are facing right now with the closing of rest stops and things like that. So
we saw an article about that before this. They're interviewing a trucker, and he was speaking about how he was. He said you can only have so many Subway sandwiches in a row, so he was frustrated not being able to.
I bet people don't think about that as one of the downsides or upsides, depending on your taste.
I wonder what the over under is.
Transportation industry.
Speaking of truck drivers, you know, we're working on one of our episodes to come, hopefully next few weeks, interviewing several truck drivers to get their perspective out, because I would argue, at least from where I sit, a lot of folks in supply chain don't even understand what truck drivers have to endure, much less folks that are outside of supply chain. So looking forward to work with our friends over at Georgia Pacific to make that episode happen. But love here, you know, Greg, the thing that strikes me, and Fred warned us, and we knew coming in that we were going to be talking with three very sharp individuals. But have you noticed how all three, Maggie, Nam, and Tanner, have such a measured, steady way of communicating? That wasn't prevalent when I was in college. And communication is so important these days. Have you picked up on that?
I have. You know, it makes me think, you know, we talk frequently with Mike Griswold from Gartner, who is a big time supply chain, particularly retail supply chain analyst. And he said for so long, and, you know, this is when we all started in it, all of you gray-haired cats along with me, when we started in the industry, supply chain took pride in almost rewarding the arsonist, because we took pride in putting out fires, but we never changed anything that stopped those fires from starting. And, you know, what I see here, and I've seen this transition over the decades, couple of decades that I've been in supply chain, that we are trying to get on the front end of these problems and predict and preempt these problems so that it's not always firefighting. And I've got to tell you, the way that the supply chain has shown its resilience and responsiveness in the face of this coronavirus situation, and frankly, paper towels and toilet paper, to recover so rapidly and so frequently to what is, by any stretch of the imagination, unheard of demand on those products, gives you an idea of how efficient the supply chain is becoming. And one of the things you'll face, gang, as a frustration is you will want to try to predict and preempt everything, and you'll get frustrated when you can't, or when some segment of the supply chain fails. Just accept that responsiveness and recovery is a big, big part of supply chain. Try to preempt everything you can, but be ready to respond. Always have a plan B.
Love that.
Scott and Greg, if I might could add something there, sure. Scott, what you said about their poise and their communication skills. We had one of our sessions, and Nam wasn't there because he was, he had a job interview, and I communicated with him a little bit about the interview process, and I was interested about it, and we passed some ideas back and forth, but his whole attitude was, no, I got this. And so he went into it very confident. He spoke well. You can hear how these guys spoke. And so, you know, it sounds like he knocked it out of the park in the interview, like I knew that he would.
Outstanding. Hey, so a couple things. I want to shift gears just a little bit here. I'd love to get a bit of a view into the future. As Scott says, let's talk about predictive analytics or look into that crystal ball and see what the future holds. I'm really interested on that point, Fred, in what the team is going to do after college. I mean, maybe you haven't landed that next job, or maybe you have. So Maggie, tell us a little bit about what's next for you after you get out of school.
Sure. So I still have one semester of classes left. It's only, I think, a 12-hour semester, so it shouldn't be too bad. But hopefully after that, I'll be in a company that, like I said, I really care about sustainability. So hopefully I'll land a spot in a company that really values and prioritizes sustainability. And I really hope that I can make some impact, like you said, and not only putting out these fires, but in helping build and rebuild processes to prevent these fires in the first place.
I feel so much better about supply chain, knowing that you three are going to go out into the world. I'm not kidding.
If I can, I want to interject here, because clearly – and it's coming from the group, but Maggie clearly your passion for sustainability and circularity thinking stands out. Why is that so important in your words?
That's a great question. I think it's, I mean, it's to say it's important for the world is, I think, an understatement. But in the business world, I think large corporations that have access to resources, I think they bear a certain responsibility in taking a stance on sustainability. And I really think that with the access to resources that some of these corporations have, that some real change can be made in terms of reducing carbon footprint and reducing waste and improving efficiency, all for the benefit of the world.
Maggie, you would be, I really appreciate that perspective, I got to tell you. You would be doing me a personal favor if you would also keep eyes on fair trade and ethical practice.
Absolutely.
To some extent as well. You know, there's some big opportunity. There are some companies. I know that Scott, he didn't say this, but I know there were probably a half dozen companies going through his mind as soon as you said a passion for sustainability. So,
right. Maybe three dozen. I don't know.
When you get closer to graduation, feel free to reach out. So Nam, okay, I got to know now, did you nail the interview, and is that where you'll be going? Did you pick somewhere else? Tell us a little bit about what's coming for you.
All right. So the interview was with Manhattan Associates in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it was a pretty difficult interview, but Fred, he really helped my confidence. He kind of just gave me a good rundown and a good warm-up. And I went in there, did the best I could, and they liked me. So definitely got hired. I accepted the opportunity there, and so I'll be working there after everything dies down a little bit.
Outstanding. What are you going to be doing there, Nam?
So I'm going to be on their support side of things. I'm going to be a software consultant. So essentially, okay. I'll be working primarily with clients that have already implemented the softwares and stuff like that, and just kind of help them and maintain relationships and stuff like that.
Outstanding. That's a great company. So Scott and Fred and I all know a number of people that are there or who have been there. If technology, you know, if supply chain technology is where you want to be, it's a great place to be. It's a great place to start. It's a great place to end up, frankly. But that's a fantastic company. So congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm very excited about the opportunity.
Yeah, you're going to love it. First of all, there's some great food around where their corporate office is. My former company's corporate office was very close.
Noted.
All right, Tanner. So, Tanner, I have to expose this. This is something that not many people know about Clay, and that is that his father worked at Shaw. So not only are you from Calhoun and he's from Dalton, so you might have had a bit of a rivalry in high school, but Mohawk and Shaw are competitive flooring companies.
Yes.
in Northwest Georgia as well. So, you know, don't let that slip out at lunch if you haven't already.
It's funny, their corporate offices are actually directly across the road from each other. So it's pretty funny.
Clay still works there. He's a product engineer, designer, something like that. So, well, tell us what you're going to do next. Have you found that next stage yet?
Yeah, so I'm going to be returning to Mohawk as a supply chain analyst, and I get to keep the manager that I worked under during my internship, which I'm really excited about. I feel like he does a really good job of listening to the concerns of people below him, so I'm really excited to get to work for him. Just like over a medium term goal, I guess I'd like to move into some sort of management after, you know, 3 or 4 years of being in the industry there, and just trying to make Fred's kind of instilled being lifelong learners into us, and he shared that experience. Wow. And where it's gotten him. So long term, I hope to keep that mindset and just see where that takes me.
That's great. I think that I don't think it'll take you 3 or 4 years, Tanner. That's just my prediction.
Hopefully not.
But
bold prediction.
Bold prediction. Well, you know, just like on ESPN, no one will be around to hold me accountable for it.
But I agree with you, Greg, from a little bit we've seen from Maggie, Nam, and Tanner. Okay, we want to shift gears a bit. As Greg and Fred and myself have shared a couple of our insights as we've been interviewing these three future supply chain leaders, current, future, who knows. There's not as much of a defining line these days, but clearly three folks that have an aggressive trajectory into industry. So now we want to pick your brains, Maggie, Nam, and Tanner, on what you're observing and where, what you're tracking the most. So, Maggie, I want to start with you. So if you had to pick one global supply chain trend or development or innovation, you name it, that you're following more than others right now, what is it and why?
Sure. So I know you said pick one, but I'm afraid I have to pick two right now. Given the current climate, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how supply chains react to the closing of the coronavirus. We'll see how I think it'll be interesting to see how suppliers respond to that sort of immediate transition out of this this chaos that we're currently in. But beyond that, this kind of shift or innovation, I guess you could say, to, like I said, companies becoming more sustainable and kind of an increasing prioritization of sustainability and longevity. That's something that I've been following now, and I foresee becoming the norm in probably, you know, the next 5-10 years, hopefully. So that's something that I'm really interested in and following closely along to see how companies are reducing waste and practicing reusing. And there's this movement towards reusable packaging that I find really interesting, particularly for home goods. So a lot of household supplies are starting to join this this transition to see how they can reduce waste and work on producing packaging that's reusable and that can be you know, washed and sent to multiple customers to kind of reduce that footprint of waste. And I think that's really interesting and definitely something that's going to be very prevalent in the next few years here.
Love that, Maggie. All right, I want to before we go to Nam, I want to ask y'all, all three of you, a question and put it on a scale of 1 to 10. So a very simple answer. So we were talking in the earlier episode in the last week or so about how consumers more and more are voting with their wallet on companies that have more sustainable practices and sustainable products and communicate that via their branding. So if one being on the scale of you'd never spend a dollar with them, and 10 would be on a scale of you wouldn't be able to buy enough of their products, companies that aren't sustainable, how would they factor into your spend each month? And Maggie, let's start with you.
So you're saying companies that are not sustainable?
Correct. Yeah, one means you don't spend a dime, and 10 means you can't find enough ways to incorporate their products into your life.
Close to one here.
Mm-hmm. Nam?
I want to say close to one as well, but it's going to be very dependent on kind of what the products are. You know, if it's products I really can't live without, I might have to, you know, bump it up a little bit. But if there's a possibility that you can be more sustainable, I definitely prefer that the companies explore that route. So I would say a two.
Love that, Nam. And you know, you illustrate a great point that I think even going back to Maggie's point about seeing what changes come out of this pandemic environment. You know, we've talked a lot, Greg, and even Fred's been a part of it. In a couple of years, will price be creeping back and be still number one? And how will that factor into consumer choices? But, hey, we'll table that for later. Tanner, scale of 1 to 10, what's your vote?
I would probably go more like a 3 or 4 myself, and for the same reason that Nam said, like if there's no other alternative, then I guess I would be forced to. But if there is an alternative, I would probably go ahead and go with the one that is more sustainable.
Excellent. Okay. Good stuff.
I'm sorry. I have to intervene here. So because these guys are about to go out into the world, right? I think it's important to recognize, especially from your standpoint, Maggie, as you try to champion this cause, to recognize that there is no substitute for economics. And even though consumers say they will vote with their wallet in regards to sustainability and even fair trade, the truth is they don't. They go right to what is their preferred or very desired product. If there's not a lot of options, or if it's a very cost-effective item, or if it's just so important. So one of the things that you all want to work into your dealings as you think about supply chain is that economics still and probably always will drive everything. So if we want sustainability, we want fair trade, we've got to make it economically feasible.
Absolutely. Great point.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I think that's why the burden sort of falls to some of these large corporations that do have those resources and just need to put some of the changes into place in order to produce those more sustainable products at a reduced cost as well.
Yeah.
And as we all know on this call, there is a huge bottom line play for more sustainable practices. So really curious to see how the sustainability, the circular economy movement, kind of more bigger picture, continues to evolve and take root and get more practical and more baked into the global supply chain world that we know. All right, so want to keep driving here. Nam, picking your brain on, you know, one big global supply chain topic. What are you tracking the most right now?
Okay, so recently I've been looking more and closely into cloud computing. I know it's kind of already a thing, but the thing I'm mainly focusing on is security side. I'm trying to see kind of what's the development in the security for cloud computing, because when it comes to cloud computing versus like legacy systems, I think the risks that comes with cloud computing is still fairly high, considering the security approaches, the frameworks that people use for a fairly new structure like cloud. I don't know if it's adequate, and I'm not confident in it as yet. So I'm just kind of watching the news, seeing how it develops, and that's kind of the trend I'm looking at right now.
Love that. And would love to bring you back on in a couple of years, especially as you join an industry leader like Manhattan Associates, as you continue to be a part of those conversations. So good stuff there, Nam. Tanner, same question. When you look at the global end-to-end supply chain community, what sticks out?
Something that I find really interesting is the concept of the Internet of Things, which just basically is like just the millions of smart devices and the web of information that they all share with each other and create while they're operating. And just with my time at Mohawk, I spent time in manufacturing facilities and warehouse facilities outside of just sitting in the corporate office. And it's just amazing how much you can have going on and how efficiently you can do it when you have these automated systems communicating with each other, and you can get this information in real time. And I think investments in those sort of things will break some ceilings and allow smaller to mid-range companies to grow and do the things that some of the big players are doing.
Mm. You know, in your time in those plants and all of your, everyone on this episode, time spent in manufacturing plants and warehouse facilities, you know, despite all the technology gains, what I always really have appreciated is the people and just how hardworking, how the problem-solving nature of it, the sense of mission you've got in a lot of these plant floors. That's certainly one of the things that amongst my, you know, 320 or so plant tours, I've always enjoyed interacting with the folks making it happen.
Yeah, there's some camaraderie there too. My first summer after my freshman year in college, I worked at Field Turf. They manufacture artificial turf, and we did 6 days, 12 hours on, and I was with the same group of guys that entire time, and that camaraderie was the only thing that really kept us going.
Hey, we all appreciate hard work when we do it ourselves, and some of the folks have been doing that 30, 40 years. So
absolutely.
What a great experience, Tanner. As much as I hate to start wrapping up the conversation, as each of you answered questions from Fred and Greg and myself, I know that the three of us had a lot of different follow-up questions we'd love to get you to weigh in on. And maybe after you graduate and you get your first year under your belt in your first role, we'll have to have you back on and share those reflections. But let's talk about, as we wrap up, kind of the impact of your participation as part of Team Supply Chain and how that has made a difference, not only in your learning experience, but overall. And so, Maggie, I want to start with you.
Sure thing. So it's been awesome to be part of this Team Supply Chain. Fred's done such a good job with us throughout the semester of, you know, keeping us on track and coming up with a good schedule and providing us with awesome contacts. But one thing that I think has really stuck out to me is just being able to talk amongst ourselves and with other people that Fred introduces us to about what it actually looks like to, from a firsthand perspective, to work in supply chain and all these different fields kind of across the spectrum. You know, we're limited by our internships and time we have of what firsthand experience we can get prior to graduation. But I think this has given us all an opportunity to kind of pick each other's brains about, well, what does it look like to be in your field, you know, and how did your internship kind of affect the way that you perceive things? And it's been really interesting to kind of learn from each other, I think, just as much as being able to learn from these contacts that Fred has provided us with.
Love that. And Maggie, great point made about internships. Even though we'd love to see more and more internships continue to proliferate out and give more students that opportunity to get that real-world experience, to your point, oftentimes it is kind of dedicated to one segment of supply chain. Greg and Fred, it's been neat to see companies like Cisco, who has got a big presence in Atlanta, create intern rotation programs with its upstream and downstream supply chain partners, so they get a more well-rounded internship opportunity. I've always thought that's a really neat thing to do. Okay, so Maggie, I appreciate you sharing. Same question, Nam, talk about the impact of participating in a team supply chain on your experience.
Well, I really like that Fred has been an awesome mentor. I really like that he's kept us on track when going through all of this pandemic stuff right now. I know definitely it threw me off. It threw off my schedule a lot, but keeping this pretty regularly, keeping the meetings regular has really helped me kind of stay on top of things. Mm-hmm. But some of the other benefits that I got from this was just the people that I meet, right? They kind of tell you how it is in a real perspective. They keep it real. You know, you can't learn a bunch of stuff, or you can't learn everything about supply chains in the classroom. You kind of need that firsthand experience. You kind of need people to really tell you kind of how it is outside. And, you know, I think it's very valuable to see that kind of experience and the experiences that these professionals have given us, or just the perspectives that they give us.
Love it. I tell you, it feels just in talking with you and hearing how each of you pick your words and it's clearly evident that you've already made certain observations that many students, certainly those that were graduating during my time and even in recent, you know, last 5 or 8 years, you're ahead of those. And that's got to be such a valuable position to have. So thanks for sharing, Nam. Tanner, same question. Talk about the impact of your involvement with Team Supply Chain and how that's had an impact on your experience.
It's just been a great opportunity for exposure that I think I would have been worse off without. I'm really glad that Fred came and talked to us that one day, and he's just gotten us in these positions that otherwise never would have been in, like such as being on this program that you guys have built up here. And then you're hitting on the communication. I think definitely the exposure to the communication that we've gotten through Fred, whether it be on here or speaking to other contacts in our other meetings, and just seeing how things are done and the right way to communicate, and having the team atmosphere between us and having lines of communication between ourselves has really been great.
I agreed. And again, so evident. It's amazing how much you can pick up on even a remote 1 hour or so conversation. So really appreciate that, Tanner. As we start to wrap up here, we've been speaking with Maggie Hume, Nam Pham, and Tanner Foster, all upperclassmen at University of Georgia. We'll be graduating really soon. Some have roles already identified. Others are really close. But the future supply chain is certainly in good hands. And look no further than the last hour-long conversation we've had here. So I want to bring Greg and Fred back in. Greg, I want to start with you, and I want to get your key takeaway, other than the fact that I continue to bungle those scale questions 1 to 10. I can't make that simple enough, can I?
I'm not sure that, yeah, I think about that. I think it's on you. I think 1 to 10 is just confusing.
I agree. We'll get better.
It might be an on-off switch, you know?
That's right.
That's a tough one. Look, aside from that, the takeaway that I've got is, one, Fred, thank you so much for catalyzing the experience of these young people and, you know, helping to accelerate their growth in terms of knowledge and supply chain. I was thinking about what an effort that is, especially as Nam said, you kept the meetings regular and had an agenda. I thought there is no way that I could possibly do what Fred has done. So first of all, thank you for doing that. It's no small effort, and I can see that everyone appreciates it. The other is the future of supply chain is bright. If these three people are any indication, we are definitely going the right direction. Maggie, I love your passion. Nam, I think you might change how warehouse operations work at a root level. And Tanner, I feel like you have the both passion and compassion for the people in the transportation industry to make sure that things go the right direction in that industry as well. So
love
those
that.
Are big takeaways for me.
Yep. Love that. And
I just,
good stuff.
I just continue to be totally impressed with the knowledge that these guys have, the poise, the confidence they have in talking, and that these young folks about to begin their career, let an old man hang out with them every now and then. I have certainly enjoyed it a lot. I had an observation. I've told something on Maggie and on Nam, but in one of our meetings there at the Business Learning Center, and I said, you walk through there, through the coffee shop, and, these guys have their heads down in their books. They're talking quietly. And I said, man, you guys are so serious. And Tanner just said, hey, it's competitive around here. And I tell you what, these guys can compete with anybody. And, that's my takeaway from hanging out with these future supply chain leaders here.
Agreed. Hey, Fred, real quick, I'm sure some of our audience members may want to compare notes with you, whether it's about what you've been doing for quite some time or even what you've done, leading the team supply chain effort at UGA. What's the easiest way folks can reach out?
Sure. Well, LinkedIn is a good way. It's very easy to connect with folks on LinkedIn. F. Talbert at demandsolutions.com is a way to reach me through email. But hey, I certainly enjoy trading information and trading ideas with other people in the industry.
Love that, and really admire the folks that give back in such a meaningful way. We can't say it enough. Maggie, Nam, and Tanner, excellent job. Really, I knew we were going to enjoy this conversation. I think I surpassed how much I would enjoy it. There's 1,000 other questions I know all three of us on our end would love to pose to you, but we'll save that for next time. If I can, just challenge each of y'all with a very simple concept. One of the bane of our existences here at Supply Chain Now is lip service leadership, right? And there's so much of that industry. I would just challenge all of y'all to wrap your head around this notion of GSD, and that's get stuff done. It's all about action. And that's my first impression in hearing each of you. There's a lot of action and intent behind your perspective. So I'm really looking forward to tracking your careers and seeing the big things that you're going to do once you leave beautiful Athens, Georgia.
Thank you all so much, Scott.
Thank you, Maggie. Thank you, Nam. And so just to read it one more time, we've been talking with Maggie Hume, Nam Pham, and Tanner Foster, all set to graduate soon from the University of Georgia in Athens. Thanks so much, and we'll be back in touch soon.
To our audience, if you did enjoy this conversation, you can find out a lot more just like them at supplychainnow.com. On that note, you know, on behalf of Greg White and Scott Luton, the whole team here at Supply Chain Now, hey, do good, give forward, be the change that's needed, and we'll see you next time here on Supply Chain Now. Thanks, everybody.